Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Mike the Gardener podcast special sponsored by Natural Grower, the supplier of plant-based products for organic and chemical-free gardening and houseplants. And in this delightfully dreamy Dahlia special, I chat to Farmer Gracie horticulturalist Naomi Jones about everything you need to know about growing dazzling dahlias. So, if you want to be the envy of your friends and family and grow the best dahlias you have ever seen, then have a listen to this. And do stay tuned to the end as I have a very special offer on Farmer Gracie dahlias, valid until the 18th of April 2021 at midnight. Welcome along, Naomi.
Hello.
Thank you so much for spending some time to talk to me about dahlias today.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure.
Well, we see these stunning dahlias on TV, on social media, in other people's gardens. We ooh and we are, and we're completely bowled over by them, and we want them, and we want lots of them probably. So we buy them and we wait, and then we get this very dry brown tuber. So first and foremost, for those who are just new to dahlias, how do they actually start when they receive a tuber? What should they do first?
Well, that's where the magic happens, is in that crumbly little brown tuber. And that's where it starts. What you need to do is best planted as soon as possible when you get them, while they're nice and fresh. They are not frost hardy. So unless you have a greenhouse or a conservatory or somewhere indoors where you can start them off, you may need to leave it until early May when risk of frost has passed before you plant them out. So in the meantime, if you're doing that, which is what I do, I put them in the garage or in a shed or somewhere cool and dry and store them.
What compost should you be using? What's the best compost when you first get them?
Well, if you're potting them up when you first get them to grow on indoors, I just use multi-purpose compost. That's absolutely fine. They seem perfectly happy in that. Yeah, and we at Farmer Gracie, we think peat-free is better. It's better for the environment, and they're happy perfectly happy with peat-free compost. So if you can, get hold of some of that.
And what size pot? Should the tuber be sitting just tightly inside a pot, or should it be large enough for it to be able to grow away?
You don't want it to be too big, because if you're potting it up, it'll want to grow a root ball that you can easily slide out of the pot in May or when you want to plant it out. If you've got it in a huge pot to grow it on, you're going to have to fish out all the roots out of that pot. It'll all fall apart, and that can damage the roots and could set it back a little bit. So a tuber, you know, they can vary in size. Some varieties have very big tubers and some are small. So when you get them, it's best to sort of judge it when they arrive. Choose a pot which gives it about an inch of space all the way around. It doesn't need to be massive, because they'll only be growing on for a couple of months in there. And in that time, they should get a nice little root ball. And I know a lot of people have stacks of old pots in their garages and sheds. They're the perfect thing to use just to start off your dahlias.
And it's good, obviously, to use those plastic pots over and over and over again.
But yeah.
So in terms of size, you talked about the size of the tubers. They do vary, don't they? I've just ordered some tubers which have come through for the same variety, but some are quite big, some are smaller, but that's not a problem.
No, they're all different shapes and sizes. You can get some really random looking dahlia tubers. Some of them have tiny little knobbly tubers on, and a long stalk, and some of them have a short stalk and thin gangly tubers. And it's very easy to look at them and think, this one doesn't look right and this one looks completely different. But that's just nature, I suppose. They're all different shapes and sizes.
So sometimes in transit, some of the tubers bits will fall off. Can those be planted on their own? Should they be planted with the tuber?
Yeah, easily can fall off. As long as they've got most of their tubers still attached, the main thing will grow without any problems. And any bits you have left over in the bag when it arrives, I pop those in a pot as well and hope for the best. They don't always grow, but sometimes they do.
And so you've got them in your pot. How often in that first couple of months should you be watering them?
I water it, give it a good soak when you first plant it, water it in, let the water trickle out the bottom of the pot. If you're growing it on indoors or in a greenhouse, and it's cool, it's between March and April, which is when you start them off, it probably won't dry out very quickly in the cool temperatures. But when it does look dry again, top it up with a bit more water and let it drain out the bottom. But don't keep them in wet soil all the time. They don't need that. Just when the soil feels dry, just poke your finger in, and if it feels dry, give it a top up.
Wonderful. And what about feeding? Are we feeding at this in this first couple of months?
No, I don't feed my dahlias at all. You can do, and I believe you need a potassium fertilizer if you are going to feed them in the summer, because the nitrogen based ones encourage lots of leaves and less flowers. So something a seaweed extract is good all rounder.
Okay.
Or a homemade comfrey feed if you're feeding your dahlias, but that won't be necessary. I don't do it at all, and they flower fine. They have so much energy in the tubers, and if you have a nice soil as well, they don't really need it.
Okay, so let's talk about that now then. So you don't feed your dahlias even through the season, you just rely on them having a good compost.
Yeah, and actually, to be fair, my soil isn't even very good. I have a sandy soil, so it's just really quite poor, very free draining. The main thing they want from me is water in the summer, and I'm out there all the time watering them in that sandy soil. But I don't feed them. I never feed them. I probably would if I got around to it, just to try and get the best out of them. But they seem to flower fine without it, so I don't bother now.
That's really interesting, because I think we all have this mindset that feeds to get more flowers, and as you say, a potassium rich feed will actually hopefully enhance that. So it's really interesting to hear that you don't, and you still get a really good display.
I'm terrible. I just water. I think I've got enough time for watering them, and do it in the evening when the sun's starting to go down, so they really benefit from a good soak. But I don't feed them, and I don't believe I've got very nutritious soil, but they seem to do fine. I think they would do better if you gave them a fortnightly feed with something sort of general purpose, a seaweed extract or comfrey, a homemade one, something like that. They'd love that, I'm sure. But mine aren't so nicely treated, unfortunately.
So you've got a sandy soil, say. So for people who are growing in containers, and I know a lot of people like to grow their dahlias in containers, what sort of compost should you be putting in the dahlias? And I suspect I know what you're going to say.
I use multi-purpose.
Yeah.
So I'll fill a bit. You can use a soil-based compost if that's what you have. One with some John Innes in it. But they're perfectly happy in that too. Multi-purpose is a really good all-rounder, and I find that supports dahlias no problem at all. If you're growing dahlias in a pot, though, you do need a big pot. Sometimes they surprise you with how tall they get, so you're going to need a sturdy pot. A soil-based compost is denser and can anchor it down a little bit better. As you know, multi-purpose compost is a bit loose and fluffy, and it can shrink down a little bit, lose its structure over the season, but generally speaking they tend to be fine in that.
So we've got our dahlia tuber, it's been put in a pot of multi-purpose compost, we've watered it, it starts to grow away after a few weeks, I guess you start to see some shoots.
Yeah. It's usually after about a few weeks. If you've got it in a greenhouse or in a conservatory, after a few weeks, you might start to see some little shoots coming up. And it depends what time it is in the season as well. If you start yours off really early, you might not see them quite so soon if it's still very cold. In that case, if you do like to start yours off early, say in late February, you'll need probably a heated greenhouse or to do it indoors. Otherwise, they might get a little bit sad being cold and wet. But yes, I would say on average, you give it a few weeks and you should see some little shoots in there.
Now, those little shoots, you can take cuttings from those, can't you?
Yes, actually, I'm no pro when it comes to taking cuttings, so I don't know if I can answer you reliably on that. But yes. You can, but I don't know the best way to do it.
I think from what I've done, I like my dahlias and I like to take cuttings from them. I think the success factor for me is to try and nick a little bit of the tuber so that when you cut that shoot from the tuber, you take a little slice of the tuber as well.
I didn't know that.
All the growth hormones are in there, which will start the root initiation, and then just put them somewhere humid in a free draining compost. So yeah, if you really are feeling adventurous, you can take cuttings from your
dahlias. I'm going to give that a try.
I have to say, I've done it a few years, and in the years that I've done it, the most successful have been those where I've just been able to scrape just a little bit of the tuber away with the cutting. And they've done really well. And in fact, some of the cuttings I took last year, they will flower in the same season as well, which is also a great way to get new plants. That having been said, I think you need a more established tuber so that you don't actually impact the flowering of the existing tuber. So use an older tuber.
Yeah, maybe not one in the first year, but yeah, when you've just received it. After a couple of years, those tubers almost double in size every time. So yes, you could take a cutting from one of those. They'll have multiple eyes and they won't notice, really, I'm sure.
So that leads me on nicely. As you say, it's got multiple eyes, which are the growing points from the tuber. I often read about taking some of those stems out so that you select 5 or 6 good, strong stems to grow away. Any truth in that rumour?
Well, I've not actually got any dahlias that are so big they've got more than 6 eyes, I suppose. They do get that big eventually. It depends what you're going for. If you want a really sturdy, taller plant, maybe, you taking out some of the eyes will concentrate the energy from the tuber into those fewer stems. So they will be bigger and stronger and they may produce more flowers. If you're growing a cottage style garden or you like a sort of relaxed effect, you might like to leave the buds there to form a natural looking bushy plant as it would be.
And you'll still get obviously lots of flowers on all of those stems rather than...
I always think the more stems the better, really, because you'll have more branching points and more blooms.
I think, yeah, that's always been my outlook on it. Why would you take stems away? But I think the argument is if you have fewer stems, you'll have bigger blooms on the stems that remain. So I guess there's this sort of like dichotomy. Do you want big blooms on fewer stems or lots of blooms on lots of stems?
Yeah, I think I go for lots of blooms on lots of stems. I don't know whether the flowers are bigger. Maybe they're more prolific. Maybe there's just more of them, one after another, and they were produced more quickly that way on fewer stems, possibly. But yeah, I quite like the bushy look on the dahlias.
Yeah, I have to say, and as I said earlier, I think most people are going to want as many blooms for their penny as they possibly can get. So it seems counterproductive to actually cut stems away.
Yeah, I think so.
So the dahlias are flowering away. We've established maybe feeding them isn't essential, although it might help. But how much water should we be giving them in the height of a dry, hot summer, which we hope we're going to get?
Every day, I would, unless you have a heavy clay soil. But hopefully, if you did have a heavy clay soil, you might have dug some sort of drainage into that first. But I find they need watering every single day to stop them from flagging. It doesn't matter if you miss a couple of days or a day here and there, but on really hot, dry days, as we've had for the past couple of years, there's been some long, long spells of drought, and they get very, very thirsty, and you'll see their leaves drooping the next day if you haven't watered the night before. So, well, you can water in the morning, but I find it is better to water at night or in the evening because they can just soak up all that water without it evaporating out of the soil.
Thank you for that. Got to talk about pests and diseases. Now, our mollusk friends, the slugs and the snails, are rather fond of our dahlias. Any hints and tips as to how we can keep them at bay?
Well, I think when it comes to slugs, the best thing you can do really is to pot up your dahlias. If you've got lots of slugs in your garden, they're always munching on your plants, then you don't want them munching on your young dahlia shoots. So I would pot them up and grow them somewhere where slugs can't reach them to start with. Let them establish a bit. And by the time you plant them out, they should have enough growth on there to not really be completely destroyed by a slug. And often the lower leaves of mine have some little slug holes on, but you don't notice that when you've got a big plant there and the top of most of it is absolutely fine, just the few munchy marks on the lower leaves. But there is I think some sort of barrier to stop them is the best way. And I plant my dahlia straight outside in early May. So they are there ready for slugs to munch on those, on the young shoots. They don't go for them too much. I haven't had much of a problem. But what you can do is just put something over the top of them at nighttime. Like a, it doesn't even have to be see-through if it's nighttime. You could put a salad bowl over the top or a pint glass just to protect those young shoots from being munched in the nighttime.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. I'd not actually thought of that. I've tried nematodes. I use these sort of like the nematode. Have you tried copper ring?
Yes, I haven't tried copper rings. I know they're successful if you're growing them in pots and that stops the slug passing over the copper. They react badly, don't
they? That's right. They don't like, I think they get a bit of a mild electric yes. shock, which just sends them the opposite
it
way.
It doesn't sound appealing at all. So so you can put, if you're growing them on in pots, you could put some of that copper tape around the pots. And another thing you could do, apparently they don't like coffee grounds.
Yes, so
you
I've
can
heard
put coffee
that, yeah.
grounds all the way around your dahlias. And you could also try sawdust.
Oh, I've not heard of sawdust.
You put some dry sawdust around it. They don't like to crawl across sawdust, apparently.
That must be similar to the eggshells, I guess. I the crushed up eggshells, which I use as well. All of my eggshells get saved, baked, and then crushed up and put around my dahlias.
Yeah, anything like that sounds good. Anything that's uncomfortable for a slug to slide across. Definitely avoid using slug pellets because they're terrible for wildlife.
Yeah.
And but so any other way you can do to that you can think of to stop those slugs. I mean, they come out at night, so the problem is at night time, therefore the plants don't require light. So if you can cover them up with something at night time, it doesn't even have to be transparent, that should hopefully stop the slugs eating the young shoots. And when they get bigger, dahlias can get quite large. The slugs can eat as much of the lower leaves as they like, and you won't even notice.
And of course, the other pests that sometimes plague dahlias are earwigs.
Yeah, I've never noticed them plaguing them, but sometimes you cut a dahlia and put it in a vase, and then all of a sudden an earwig crawls out of it.
I've noticed it more so on the single-flowered dahlia, single-petaled dahlias, where sort of like if they nibble the sort of like some of the petals, it can be a little bit, you can a beautiful bloom with these little nibble marks around it.
I haven't noticed them nibbling it before. I notice it with the pom-poms. They just seem to sort of pop out of the pom-pom sometimes. So I haven't had a problem with those. But yes, a lot of people say that earwigs cause them grief on their dahlias, but I haven't experienced a problem with the earwigs. And another one people mention is ants. They don't like ants on the dahlias. That there's sticky sap sometimes on dahlias, and I think that's what the ants are sort of eating it up.
If you get green fly on dahlias, I think sometimes the green fly obviously excrete this honeydew. I think the ants quite like the honeydew as well. So we've got an established dahlia. We're watering it, we're feeding it if necessary. We're keeping our pests and diseases at bay one way or another. What next should we be doing? What about deadheading?
Oh, yes. Do deadheading regularly and you'll get more flowers. So the dahlias, depending on what the variety is, the flowers last a few days or a couple of weeks. The big ones tend to last ages, actually, the big dinner plate ones. As soon as they start to look a bit like they're going crispy, fading, snip it off. It's sad to see it go, but another one will come and maybe even two more in its place.
Yeah, and that's lovely, just sort of like, because they will keep flowering until the first frost if you're looking after them.
Yeah, mine flower until November. It's you watch as one day the frost comes and kills all your lovely flowers that were looking amazing. It would look like summer the day before, and then the next minute it's winter.
So we've got to that awful time in the year. It's autumn, it's getting cooler, the dahlias are beginning to slow down despite deadheading. Obviously, at some point, they're going to get hit by the frosts. So for the dahlias that are in the ground, what is the next course of action to take them through the winter?
Ideally, you need to dig them up. So wait until the first frost, and the leaves will go all black over the course of that day after the first frost. So that's the point where you dig them out. You just put a spade in next to the tuber, give it a bit of space so you don't cut through a tuber by accident. Lift it out, shake off all the soil, cut off the stem, you can rinse the tuber as well.
Now, how important is that? I've heard about people saying you should wash all of the soil off.
You don't have to. It's a good idea to. Theoretically, you should. It's meant to be better that way. So you wash off the soil with just plain water and just let them dry out, air out for a couple of days before you store them.
And should you turn the tuber upside down? Because you've cut all the top growth off at
this
point.
You don't have to cut it up, leave it upside down. I just put mine in, once they're dry, I just put it in a tray. So I get some trays or some shallow cardboard boxes and I put the dry tubers in there, just one layer of them, and just store them like that, so they've got plenty of air getting to them.
So you don't put anything in with them to sort of help them through the
winter
months? Well,
you can. I do, actually. I put in a bit of dry compost at the bottom. Don't water at all over winter. They won't need that at all. An inch or two of dry compost, not nice new stuff, something old that's already been used out of your summer pot.
Yeah.
And because they don't need the nutrients. It's literally just there to hold in a little bit of, helps keep the moisture in the tuber. So that's what I do. Some people wrap them up in newspaper to prevent the tubers from drying out. Even if they do dry out a bit, it doesn't matter because they often look shriveled up at this time of year before you plant them, and then they plump back up again when you don't. So it's not essential that you do that, but that's what most people do. They wrap it up in some newspaper or they put it in trays. They don't have to have the compost, but I put a bit of compost in the bottom just from my summer pots. When I empty out my summer pots, I put some in there so they have like a nice cozy bed.
And whereabouts do you overwinter them? Do you put them somewhere in particular?
Yeah, they have to be frost free. So, but they don't need to be warm. So I wouldn't put it in your house in an area with central heating because that can confuse them. They won't know when to wake up in the spring if they've spent all winter being warm. So it's frost free, but cool as well. So garage or shed, summer house, loft, basement if it's dry enough and not damp in there, something like that, somewhere without central heating and not warm and not freezing. If you can find somewhere that's cool and dry, that would be fine.
So really sort of like a shed or a garage if you've got one.
Or a greenhouse, a cool unheated greenhouse over winter.
One thing we didn't mention earlier is how much sun, how much shade dahlias can actually cope with. So what's the gen on that?
They love sun, but they do fine in partial shade as well. So they'll just take a little bit longer to start flowering in shade. I've got a corner in my garden which is in full shade and I grow dahlias in it every year. And they flower wonderfully, but they are slower to start than the ones in the sun. Having said that, the flowers last longer in the shade because they're cooler. They don't frizzle.
In terms of the flowers, there are different types of flower as well on dahlias. Which ones are most popular? I mean, they say there's probably 6, 7 or possibly more flower types.
Yeah, dinner plates are really popular at the moment. The really big ones like café au lait.
I knew you were going to say café au lait.
Those big dinner plate ones are really flying off the shelves this year. Everybody wants those big ones. But the other ones that people are interested in, the bee-friendly ones too, the ones that have a nice nectar-rich center, like the bishop dahlias, the single flowered ones, the ones with the open flowers, and you can see the center. Bees absolutely love them, and people are quite conscious of that, so they want to include bee friendly varieties.
So your pom-pom dahlias, where you can't see the center, they're not going to be very good for pollinators
although some of them do open up eventually. The pom-pom flowers last quite a long time, and they spend that whole time opening and opening and opening further and further until you do actually sometimes start to see a little button center in the middle, and then the bees will go in. But it's not the best for the bees, that one. That's more of a cut flower, a fancy one to enjoy. But it's always good to include some varieties for the bees, because they do just seem to love them. I often see multiple bees on one dahlia Bishop of Llandaff flower. There's two or three bees in the middle there, just all fighting over the neck.
Fighting for the pollen.
Yeah, so I would say, definitely the big impressive dahlias are the ones that people are going for at the moment. It's all about her making lovely bouquets as well, and getting the most impressive looking dahlias. And they are so fashionable at the moment. And I talk to a lot of people that say that dahlias are not cool at all. They were big in the 70s, and I think they must have visions of when everything was in neat little rows in front gardens, and all the colours were red and yellow, and they
Actually, talking of colours, there are so many different coloured dahlias: reds, oranges, yellows, whites, pinks. I think blue, this like this elusive blue, is probably the only colour
the
we
only
don't have in the dahlia
colour.
range,
Yeah,
isn't
you'll
it?
find dahlias with blue in the name, but they're probably purple, really.
Yeah, well, I've just ordered Blue Bayou, which is purple. So any particular favourites for you, Naomi? Which are your sort of go-to dahlias?
Oh.
If you could keep it to like 100 at maximum.
There are so many. I'm really into the bright colours. I love orange ones and pink ones. I like clashing dahlias together.
Oh, lovely,
I don't believe,
yeah,
actually, that flowers can ever clash with each other. They always look nice. You wouldn't wear those colours together. You wouldn't paint your house those colours.
Well, you might do.
But you would definitely consider that a clash. But when you've got some bright pink and bright orange and red dahlias next to each other, they really... they seem to work and it looks fantastic. But I can't decide what's my favourite. Last year I grew Babylon Bronze, and that's a big dinner plate one, and it was wonderful.
Oh, I don't know that one. I shall have to, as soon as we finish,
yeah,
I should
dusky,
be looking.
Dusky orange colour. I'm quite into orange, and I like the dusky shades too.
Go for
and,
the colour.
But yeah, so Babylon Bronze was great. And I tell you another one which is brilliant, and that's Preference. That one is so prolific. It just flowers like crazy. I just had about 20 flowers on it at a time constantly throughout the summer last year. It's wonderful.
So are there any particular, is there like a top three Farmer Gracie sort of dahlia chart?
The top three, the most popular is Café au Lait, and then that's followed by Babylon Bronze, and people quite like those unusual orchid flowered dahlias too, like Honker Black, which is like a black star-shaped dahlia with little pointy petals.
Is there anything else, or any sort of like little hints and tips that you could give to anybody for growing the best dahlias ever, and other than what we've covered already?
I think you won't be disappointed in growing any dahlias. If you keep them frost-free and choose the colours and the flower shapes you like, you will do well, and keep them well watered through summer, and you can't go wrong, really. They're really easy. They've got a reputation of being tricky just because they're not frost hardy. But
yeah,
that's their only requirement is that they don't want to be out in the cold in the winter.
And they really pack a punch for their money, don't they? You really get your money's worth in terms of blooms.
I can't imagine why anyone would not want a dahlia in their garden, because there are so many different types of plants, and it is rare to find one which will flower for several months over the summer,
yeah,
without you having really to do very much at all to it, apart from occasionally deadhead it and water it every day. But apart from that, it just keeps on rewarding you for months, and you can use it again the next year. So it just keeps on giving. Brilliant value.
What's not to like?
Exactly.
Thank you so much indeed, Naomi. It's been really interesting talking to you.
You're welcome. You too.
I shall let you pop back to work and sell some more dahlias.
Yeah, I'll get on the case.
Thank you very much.
Okay then, bye-bye.
So, who's going out to buy some gorgeous dahlias now? Or top up their existing dahlia collection? I know I will be. And as promised, I have a special 10% discount on all Farmer Gracie dahlias purchased until midnight on the 18th of April. So when you place your order, quote Mike Palmer Dahlias as the discount code. And that's Mike Palmer Dahlias as one word, and Mike with an M-I-K-E. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.